I'll be reading from Acts chapter 4, 7 through 12. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the importance man, by what means he is made whole, by it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is their salvation is any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."
Someone has associated several of our hymns with things in life. Someone has said that our hymn, Stand Up, is the chiropractor's hymn. It has been said that the electrician's hymn is Send the Light. The telephone man's hymn, according to this list, is There's a Call Come Ringing. The salesman's hymn is Almost Persuaded. Car accidents have been associated with We Saw Thee Not. And in this list, which is really quite long, I'm going to draw from the hymn, Why Do You Wait? This has been called the Crossing Guard's hymn. If you were to look at the hymn, Why Do You Wait? You would find, I believe it's in the third stanza, or it's really the second stanza, these words. There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no way but His way. Let's think about those words for just a minute. There is no one to save us but Jesus. Our world finds safety in a lot of places. People sometimes feel safety in their homes. They feel safety in some cases on their jobs, perhaps in the benefit packages that they receive. There are people who feel safe because of their material wealth or their health or perhaps the family that they have or something else. But the song that we sometimes sing here says that these things cannot save us. In this song that we sing, we make another point. We sing, there is no other way but His way. Now, this is exclusive language. This is saying that Jesus is the only way. There is no other possible way, is the thought, is the theme being expressed by this song. And if that's true, what about Allah, Confucius, Muhammad, Buddha, Dalai Lama? We have a world full of people who think that they are going to heaven on their own terms and in their own way. Most of us, if we have been a Christian for any length of time, have met someone, perhaps several people, who have expressed to us the idea, well, we're going to heaven just like you are, but we're taking a different path. People sometimes say that. The country of New Zealand is full of people who say, we have our own religion, and it's different from what we believe. I would estimate that 90% of the population in that country would make that claim if they were asked about their religious belief. We have our own system of faith. Yet we sing a message that is without compromise. There's no one to save us but Jesus, and there's no way but His way. Should this part of the song be sung? Is it true? Well, Todd gave us a good reading of Acts 4. Let's go back for the sake of emphasis and look again at verses 10, 11, and 12. Because this is really the key part of the sermon. There said, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that at the name or in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even in him this man is standing here before you whole. He is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which was made the head of the corner." And now verse 12. "And in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved." There was a time in Peter's life when he had let the Lord down. You may remember that at a previous period, Peter denied Jesus in three separate ways. But on this occasion, we find that he was a different man. On this occasion, Peter was very sure of himself. He said in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all, and be it known unto all the people who are in the land of Israel." Peter said, "I have a message for all the Hebrew people, and that is my people." The Jewish people crucified Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But even though they did that evil deed, God has raised him from the dead. And through the power of the resurrected Christ, Peter said that a miracle had been performed. There was a man who was impotent, a man who had been sick. Peter said, through the power of the resurrected Jesus, this man has been made whole. And then Peter went on to say that Jesus was a stone, and not just any kind of stone. Verse 11 says that Jesus was made the cornerstone. The word cornerstone is a compound word. It's made up of two different words. The first means highest, and the second part of the word means angle. The word is only found here in 1 Peter 2:6. And sometimes as we go through life, we find that people line things up on someone or something. If you've ever been perhaps with a large group of people, you may have been told to form up, or you may have been told to line up behind a certain one. And each person, perhaps if it was a line like this, the military does that. There are other organizations that have people look down the line so they can form up on the leader. That's really the idea here. We need to line up with Jesus. Now, there are some people, some good people in our world, who believe that they can line up on whatever religious object or person that they want to choose. But an inspired man speaking for God said that's not right. We need to line up on the Lord. In the first century, there were some people who wanted to line up on Jesus. But Peter said, that's not going to work. There were some others who wanted to line up behind false messiahs. But Peter said, we need to look to Jesus and to line up on him. The Lord had been rejected in the past. Verse 11, he'd been crucified. But the time for that ignorance was over. Peter drove his point home with the information in verse 12. And again, to make sure that that is foremost in our minds, let's look at it one more time. And in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. Where is salvation? The Bible says that salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2:10. So as you look at 2 Timothy 2:10, a passage that was written by Paul, and as you look at Acts 4:12, a passage that was spoken by Peter, both affirm that salvation is in Jesus. Acts 4:12 adds, though, an interesting detail. Salvation is found in none other. Ouch. Think about the context where these words were spoken. Can you imagine how well the Jewish officials received this information? Peter and John were on trial. They were before the Jewish officials. They were before the people who had hated Jesus so much that these people had endorsed, they had supported the Lord's death. And now these people, as the apostles appear before them, are told that salvation is not only through Christ, but they're told that it only comes through Jesus Christ. Peter had received a great deal of courage from the time of his denial to this particular period, because he said, you people, you helped kill the Lord, but now you need to turn to the very one that you tried to destroy. That is the only way you can be saved. And if you refuse to do that, you will be lost. There is no other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. And that statement is absolutely incredible and very, very powerful. When we sing the words that were expressed at the beginning of this lesson, we're singing what's true. We are singing words that are radical. We're saying things that are 100% exclusive. But Peter in Acts 4:12 said that they are exactly right. The correctness of the words in our songs, especially the one mentioned, that's especially clear when we examine Acts 4:12. Notice from the text, if you will, that the word other appears two different times in the verse. It appears in the first part of the verse, and it appears in the latter part of the verse. And even though it's the same word in the English text, it's not the same word in the original text. The first word that is translated other means similar, like, of the same kind of character. And the significance of that is this. Jesus, of course, was the Messiah. And Jesus promised at different times that other messiahs, false messiahs, would arise. One of the places where he made this prediction is Matthew chapter 24. In the first part of this chapter, Jesus talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he said that prior to that time, there would be people who would arise, people who would lead away others, and they would make false claims. For many, Matthew 24:5, shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall lead many astray. A little bit later, still talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, Jesus made the point again in verse 24. He said, before there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So the Lord affirmed that a time would come when there would be many false Christs, many false messiahs. And that's exactly what Peter described in the first part of Acts 4, verse 12. Because the word that's translated other means similar or like. Jesus said there are going to be people who are like me. That is, like me and my messianic claims. But Peter said even though people would come, even though they would make that kind of claim, there is no one like Jesus. The Lord is the only Messiah. He has arrived, and anyone else that comes and makes that kind of claim, they are false. A fraud, a deceiver. No other person is going to be a messianic figure who can deliver us from sin. And Peter said that anyone who makes that kind of claim needs to be rejected because they are either a liar, or they are a deceiver, or they are mentally off. That's the significance of the word other in 12a of Acts 4. You notice that in this verse, the word other occurs a second time. This is at the end of the verse. And while the first other meant similar or like, the second other describes something that was dissimilar or something that was very unlike, different in character, if you will. So while the first other describes people who would have made the messianic claims, the second other would describe people who would say, well, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm a special servant of God. I'm an angel, or I'm a prophet, or I am some other messenger from God, and I have information that you need to listen to. So by using the two different words, Peter covered the whole spectrum. He described anyone who would claim that they were some kind of messenger, some representative, or some kind of messianic figure from God. And that's important. Because over the last couple of years, and as we look at history for a long time, there have been, in recent days and months, people who have arisen who have claimed that they have a special message from God. One man recently claimed that the world was going to end. I believe it was on September 10th. If you got the BNP, he thought that the world was going to, no longer be on the 11th. And we know that he was incorrect. Peter said that the people who make this kind of claim, it's nonsense. There is no other name under heaven that God is going to use besides Jesus Christ. And that's helpful information. Because we live in a world where a number of people claim that they have some kind of special information from God. I'm usually hesitant to name names, but as we look at a passage like this, it seems that there is really no choice. As you look at the religious world, Joseph Smith, Mary Baker Eddy, the witnesses of the Jehovah Witness movement, Muhammad, you can just go down the list and you can find all kinds of religious people who claim that they have become, God invested them with a certain amount of knowledge or a certain amount of authority, and they are a spokesperson for God. Acts 4:12 says that that's not possible. Both words translated other cover the entire spectrum of people, from the folks who claim that they have special information all the way to messianic figures. And the Bible says that there is no other name under heaven that is given among men that God is going to use to save us. Jesus is the only one, and the Bible tells us about the Lord's special helpers. And if the message that people they're hearing, if it's not from Christ, if it's not from his apostles, then folks are involved with the wrong people. If we're not dealing with Jesus and the apostles, we're dealing with people who are not from God. And that makes it real clear. And that is the point of the verse. To this, someone might say, well, these other people seem to be good people. They're friendly, they're kind, they're religious, they're God-fearing, they claim to speak well of God, they teach good things in the area of ethics, they seem to be okay. Can you be absolutely certain that they're not associated with God? Yes, we can, because Peter spoke the truth in Acts 4:12. I want to share with you a verse from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14, verse 12. I'm not sure how I came across this verse, but 20 years ago, before becoming a member of the church, I had found this passage. It's one of the first verses I ever remember learning, and for more than 20 years, it has been a good guide for me. The writer said, and this is not the only time this appears in the book of Proverbs, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction." And that's so true as we deal with religious people. Folks, listen to this one or that one. People who claim to be a guide from God or have special information from God. And the writer of Proverbs gives us a principle which recognizes that kind of thing. People believe that they found the right track. They think that they're on the right course. But the writer warned that that leads to destruction. And his warning is consistent with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. In these verses, Jesus spoke about two gates, one being wide, the other being narrow. He said that the narrow gate is the way that leads to life. It's a difficult way, but it's the right way to go because it is the way that leads to eternal life. And one of the reasons Jesus said the narrow gate is difficult to use is this, verse 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." The Lord warned that teachers of error are often in disguise. A wolf is not going to appear as a wolf, but Jesus said they're going to masquerade as a sheep. They're going to blend in very well. And that's exactly what we find. The people seem to be so pious, so kind and good, obedient to God. But Jesus warned that they are destructive. Remember, if you will, how from Matthew 24, verse 24, that Jesus said it might even be possible for the elect to be led away. These people are so slick. Acts 4:12 is one of the most powerful and one of the most useful verses in the Bible, because it tells us if we are not following Jesus and his apostles, and only Jesus and his apostles, we are on the wrong road. This verse also tells us that Christianity is incompatible with other religions. We live in a time which is really quite similar to what Christians faced in the first century. There were people in the first century who told Christians, well, you have your God, you have your faith, and we have our gods, we have our faiths, and we can all get along. You bring your God, and we'll incorporate him into our religious system, and we'll just kind of have a religious sharing, and everybody will get along. But Christianity said to the world, no way. It's not going to work like that. This is not a system where we can compromise. We cannot make a deal. There cannot be any kind of merger. We have no leader but Jesus, and no information except what came through him and his apostles. With Acts 4:12, we can combine the principle from Hebrews 13, verse 8, that is, Jesus is unchanging. And when you merge these two references together, you find a truth which will be accurate until the end of time. No matter what kind of religious groups arise, salvation can only be found through Christ. The right information is only through him and only through the apostles. And it does not matter what person arises who says, we have a message from God. If it's not the information that God has given, if it's not been given through an inspired spokesman, it needs to be rejected. Now, there are some people who find the point in Acts 4:12 to be offensive. It's not a very nice thing, some think, to sing a song or to say that we believe that Christ and his way is the only way. That's not a popular message in our current culture. But that's the right message. And that's the message that God has for his people. So when we sing that song again, do we really believe the words? Do we believe that Peter told the truth in Acts 4, verse 12? There is salvation in none other. It has got to be through the Lord, and it must be in the way that he and his apostles have described. If we believe that, if we are fully committed to that principle, then as we live our daily lives as Christians, that's a truth that we need to present to other people. If that's right, it needs to be expressed to the world. If we're not a Christian, then tonight we hope that this is something that you will bear in mind. There is no other Savior but Jesus, and there's no way to be saved but his way. People have tried a lot of different methods, but the Bible says that each way will fail if it's not the Lord and the way that he's prescribed. Well, someone says, well, what is that way to become a Christian? Jesus said that we've got to believe. Without faith, we cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said that without repentance, we're going to perish. He talked about confession. And then finally, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Why teach that plan of salvation? We teach it because that's exactly how the Lord gave it, and we have no right to teach anything else. Have you obeyed God's plan? And if you have, are you trying to tell others? Salvation in none other. And tonight, if you obey the Lord's plan, you can walk out of here knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are a Christian, that your sins have been forgiven, and that you are in Christ. That's guaranteed if we do it on the Lord's terms. Can we help you become a Christian, or can we help restore you in your relationship with God? If either thing is true, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.